The Fan on Demand.
Why beat around the bush? If you whack it dead on with a stick, you'll find what you're looking for faster. This is the Jeff Blair Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
10:01 is the Jeff Blair Show. I'm Jeff Sammet, in for Mr. Blair, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Well, the Blue Jays must set their sights elsewhere, assuming their sights were ever set on Japanese pitcher Yu Darvish. Our own Jeff Blair, one of the best baseball writers in North America, and of course one of my favorite hosts, joins us now. Jeff, if you have time to join us now, why the heck am I here? I know you're doing primetime sports. Can't you pull double duty?
I don't know. I don't think so. I kind of like listening to you. I think you're doing fine. I don't think you need me to do double duty.
No, I think the station and I need you to do double duty. I mean, come on. They are paying you a boatload of money to work here. Honestly, I think you could put in more than 3 hours work.
There's no answer to that. I'm not going to say anything.
That was as good an answer as anybody could come up with.
Sometimes, you know, as Alex Anthopoulos will tell you, sometimes you just got to play your cards close to the vest. you don't want to let out too much information because, you know, it can be used against you. Other teams set their strategy according to what you say.
And I think that's absolutely correct, Jeff.
Sure it is.
Now, if it hasn't been done already, you know, Jeff, I would like to declare from what I've heard from the fans that the Alex Anthopoulos honeymoon period is officially over. Are you getting that sense as well?
Yeah. I think Alex is probably aware of that. Up to this point, he's basically been, I mean, if you follow the narrative, he's basically been repairing and rebuilding what has been left over from J.P. Ricciardi's era. Now, we can get into debate about how bad that really was, but that's a topic for another day. But up to this point, what he's been doing is very carefully assembling core pieces to the team. He's been very clear about that. I mean, there's a very clear plan in place as far as the players that he's going out to get. What we saw happen with Yu Darvish, and let's just put it out there, the Jays bid on Yu Darvish. They did not bid $50 million, as the Toronto Star is reporting. That is totally, absolutely false and inaccurate. Frankly, I'll put my sources up against anybody's sources when it comes to that. The bid was nowhere near $50 million. But they did bid for Yu Darvish. It didn't work out. And it's kind of the first time that Alex has, I wouldn't say rolled the dice, because Batista's contract was a bit of the roll of the dice. It's kind of the first time he's really reached for something, or really reached for something in a way that kind of got the attention of the public. Up to now, it's been very stealthy moves. Colby Rasmus, signing Batista, which surprised a lot of people. The Brett Laurie deal. All these things, very stealthy, very below the radar moves that caught the fancy of the baseball fans in Toronto. This is kind of the first time that Alex has sort of been part of a real reach for something. And not only didn't it work, but as both Brunt and I said in primetime, and I know a lot of other people in this station have been saying, the Jays failed to spin it properly. They let it get out of control. They turned what should have been a positive, which is, hey, look, the team's no worse than it was last year. We tried to spend money to get this guy. We obviously didn't value him as much as the Texas Rangers valued him. No, that's fair. That's fine. That's a baseball argument. As Alex said yesterday, everybody values players differently.
Mm-hmm.
You could spin that properly. You could put a positive on it. You can have a baseball argument about Yu Darvish. And I think that's what has happened here. And in some ways, it's sort of unfair to Alex, because quite frankly, I don't think Alex should be the guy standing up there talking necessarily about financial parameters and everything like that. To me, that's the president of the team. To me, that's Beeston's responsibility to be talking about stuff like that, not Alex. So yeah, the honeymoon period is definitely over. Having said that, as I tried to make the point yesterday, lots of time left in the off season. Alex is going to add another starting pitcher. That's That's pretty clear. That'll be done at some point. So, you know, I think what happened is after people, and you're starting to see it now, I'm starting to see it in Twitter, I'm starting to see it in my email, we're going to take calls for an hour in prime time today, I'm sure we're going to hear the same thing. The initial disappointment of Darvish is over, and now I think people are looking at this and saying, okay, if he can bring in another starting pitcher, a Matt Garza or a Gio Gonzalez, somebody who can give the Jays 200 innings, that can make the team better than it was at the end of the year. So I think the disappointment's over and people have started to move on a little bit.
I get that sense as well. But I also get a sense, Jeff, not that I agree with it, but I also get the sense that, all right, well, while Prince Fielder for a lot of the time has been a player, a possible acquisition that would be the number one priority for the Toronto Blue Jays, at least for Blue Jays fans, distracted for a while, and Yu Darvish ended up being that guy. Well, now they know it's not going to be Yu Darvish, but boy, a great second prize would be Prince Fielder. And you know, I get the sense that there are some out there that believe that, well, now they've got to go out and get Prince Fielder because they've screwed up the Yu Darvish situation so badly that they need to make a big splash to please the fans. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I wanted to get your thoughts with that.
See, here's where, and I thought Greg Zahn made this point yesterday on primetime. Here's the thing about Prince Fielder. Getting Prince Fielder would be a big splash. But it's also, from my point of view, a really good baseball move if you can do it. Now, think about this guy. This guy's 27 years old. We all know about the body type. We also know that, how to put it bluntly, if you're going to have a body type that Prince Fielder does and you want to be a professional athlete, baseball's the perfect sport for you, right?
Or bowling.
Or bowling, exactly. Or sumo wrestling. But, I mean, it's a good sport for you. The thing to keep in mind about Prince Fielder, and I had a conversation with Tom Hodricor, one of the baseball writers in Milwaukee, about this at the winter meetings. We actually had a cab ride to the airport, and he was talking about Prince. And I've talked to Gord Asch about him. Here's the thing about Prince. You look at Prince, you see a big, fat, sloppy guy. What you don't see and what you need to understand is the guy plays every day. The guy asks into the lineup. He's missed, 13 games in the last 3 years? I think he played 162 games this year. I could be wrong. I know he and Tom said, all the guy does is the guy shows up, works on his baseball skills, plays baseball, and eats. The guy has no off-field issues. You know, he's not a drinker. He's got no drug issues. All that stuff. You look at this guy, you see the tattoos, you see the size. You might assume the worst. It's not what he's about. Someone wrote me and said they heard that Prince Fielder was an issue in the clubhouse, which is a joke.
I haven't heard that.
It's an absolute joke. I mean, if anything, he's a very benign guy in the clubhouse. His personality doesn't match his size. As Tom said, Hodricor said, Prince isn't the guy who needs to be the straw that stirs the drink. He's not Reggie Jackson. That's not him. He's basically a quiet guy. He's pretty good-natured, but he's certainly not a bad guy in the clubhouse. So I'm looking at this guy, and I'm thinking Prince Fielder hitting behind Jose Bautista at first base. Maybe you take Adam Lind and trade him for a pitcher, or as Zahn said, put Lind in left field. Now all of a sudden you got a pretty good lineup. And that's why I think I don't know if the Jays have it financially to go after Prince Fielder. I know they can't commit. I know they won't commit to 7 years or 8 years or 9 years. But I would love to see the Jays go to Scott Boras. And Scott Boras has opened the door and say, look, here's the thing. We'll do 5 years. Hell, we'll give your guy $21 million a year for 5 years. 5 years from now, Prince Fielder's 32 or 33, goes back in the free agent market. There, if you look at the future free agent market, Jeff, there's going to be nobody out there the capacity of Prince Fielder and Albert Pujols. There just isn't going to be. The next free agent's kind of Josh Hamilton. Texas will probably re-sign him, and you could argue that Josh Hamilton in the free agent market, he's probably not. There's a lot of issues around his health. There are more issues around Josh Hamilton than there are around Prince Fielder.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that he may break the bank in the free agent market, teams might be a little reluctant with Josh Hamilton. So here you have Prince Fielder out there right now. He can sign for 5 years, go back out at the age of 32, and if you look at his track record, he's not going to be a worse player by then, and then you get another free agent contract. So I think that maybe I want to see the Jays make that approach to Prince Fielder. I don't know if they will, but I would like to see them make that approach. And the thing to keep in mind, and I've stressed this time and again, if you look at the Jays' payroll right now, they've got $48 million devoted to 12 players. They have one player, Brandon Morrow, who will probably get a pretty good chunk of change in arbitration. But even then, you're still looking at $52, $53 million. You can get this done. You don't need to go to $120 million payroll to get Prince Fielder in your team. Maybe 80, maybe 90, but you can get it done.
You're right about Prince Fielder in his ability to play every game. He did so last year. He missed one game in the past 3 years. So you're absolutely right about that. You know, in all the discussions we've had on the station, well, the ones that I've been included in talking about Prince Fielder, what totally scares me off is a 10-year deal. I don't want to be locked in for that long.
Yeah.
When I don't care about the money per year.
You're with exactly 100%.
If you're going to say that you can go out and get Prince Fielder for 5-6 years, that doesn't bother me.
No.
It's when you are talking about this player, this acquisition, and saying, okay, but you got to lock him up for 10 years. That's the part that scares me. And, you know, a lot of folks call in and say, well, you know, what's your problem with Prince Fielder? My problem isn't with Prince Fielder. My problem is with the fact that you got to lock up a guy for 10 years. And if you're going to make that kind of a commitment, well, I can understand if you're looking at first base and saying, okay, we got nobody. We've got nobody at first base. And you can argue about how good you think Adam Lind is or is going to be, but if you're going to sign up a guy for that long, and even if you were desperate, I wouldn't want to sign a guy for 10 years. But if you really had a need, if you really needed that big bat, if you really needed that first baseman, then I can see going out and at least contemplating signing Prince Fielder to 10 years. But that's the part that scares me, is the 10-year deal. But now we talk about what the Blue Jays' approach could be in going over to Scott Boras and Prince Fielder and discussing a contract. But do you think that they would be receptive to that sort of thing? Have they floated that out there?
Yeah, they have. Scott Boras at the winter meetings and through some of his, you know, some of his acolytes, and then frankly some of the writers that he's close to. And by the way, I'm with you. I wouldn't give Jesus a 10-year contract. Like, seriously, I don't think you give anybody a 10-year contract in baseball. So I'm with you in that. But Boras and his people have said, look, we've seen the market. We saw what Albert Pujols got. You know, the problem this year for Scott Boras, problem, and I use that in quotation marks, the two big free agent drivers, the Yankees and the Red Sox, are standing on the sidelines. They don't need first baseman. They got Teixeira. They got Adrian Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm.
The Angels are out of the equation now. The Dodgers are hamstrung by ownership. The Cubs, I fully expect the Cubs to get Prince Fielder. I fully expect that that's where Prince Fielder will end up. I thought Texas was a possibility. I think they're probably out of the equation now. So essentially what Scott Boras has seen is the market, it hasn't shrunk, but it hasn't been as active as he wanted it to be because the dynamics are a little different. So now Scott Boras is sitting there thinking, okay, maybe I get 10 years from Chicago. Maybe I get 10 years from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, on the other hand, I can increase the size of the market for my client. And one thing about Prince Fielder, Prince Fielder does not need New York, Chicago, Los Angeles. You know, he's not, and this is what Tom Hodricor, the Milwaukee writer, told me, Prince doesn't need to be in the Big Apple. Prince has got a huge house in L.A. next to C.C. Sabathia. He's taken care of. He just wants to play baseball. He doesn't need the big media market. So maybe if you're Scott Boras, you're saying, okay, there isn't that big city out there willing to give my guy 10 years. But maybe I can put him in a market like Toronto, a hitter-friendly ballpark, right, where he knows the city a little bit. As I said, a hitter-friendly ballpark. You know, you play indoors or you've at least got a roof. You're playing in the American League East. All of a sudden, if you're Scott Boras, you know, I might be able to jack my client's value up by having him play 5 years in Toronto. I'll tell you what, if Prince Fielder plays in Toronto, not only does he hit a ton of home runs, he'll become a 300 hitter. So now Scott Boras is sitting there saying, okay, 5 years at Toronto, $21 million a year. I'm just throwing this out there. 5 years at Toronto, $21 million a year. Improves his offensive numbers. Pretty good city to live in. Playing in the American League East. What the hell happens if Prince Fielder wins an MVP award playing in the American League East? Mm-hmm. What do you think his value is going to be like?
Yeah.
32. So that's what I think the thought process is with Scott Boras. And I really do hope the Blue Jays at least talk to Prince Fielder and at least try to suss him out.
Jeff Blair, good stuff. We'll hear you on primetime later today from 4 to 7 alongside Damian Cox. Joffrey Lupo, Luke Shen, a couple of your guests at 5 o'clock in case you don't know.
Yeah, I do. It'll be fun, and we're going to have Dr. John Carlos on. We're going to talk a little bit about the racism allegations in English soccer. John Terry now being prosecuted in England for alleged racial comments, and of course, Luis Suarez of Liverpool being hit with an 8-game suspension. So we're going to talk about a little racism with John Carlos.
Good stuff. We'll be listening 4 to 7 today. Thanks, Jeff.
Take care, Jeff.
There's Jeff Blair, the usual host of this show. He's on primetime later today. So the Jays need to add some pieces, and I want to know from you who they should set their sights on. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590. Follow us on Twitter at JeffSammet590. I'm Jeff Sammet, in for Jeff Blair on The Jeff Blair Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now, more of The Jeff Blair Show with guest host Jeff Sammet on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
It's 10:22. I'm Jeff Sammet in for Jeff Blair on The Jeff Blair Show. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, with you until noon. So we lick our wounds after the Blue Jays do not get Yu Darvish. And perhaps falsely, but a lot of folks in the city hanging their hopes with the Toronto Blue Jays on Yu Darvish. Well, that's not happening. It's not happening, of course, as you know. So I want to know from you who the Toronto Blue Jays should be going after. What is priority number one? Who is priority number one, as far as you're concerned, for the Toronto Blue Jays? Your GM, Alex Anthopoulos. It's 10:22. It's Wednesday. You're going to pick up the phone. Who are you calling? Well, you might be calling us. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590. Follow us on Twitter, at JeffSammet590. Priority number one for the Toronto Blue Jays now at this point. What is it? Mark is in Leaside, joins us on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Mark, priority number one for the Toronto Blue Jays is...
Get rid of the ownership group, I think.
Oh, wow. You know, that didn't take long.
It's going to be one of the worst ownership groups in baseball, known for that. You won't get any Prince Fielder here as long as these guys are running the show.
Oh.
And I got to say this, is that, number one, I love your show and when you're on. I have to say very positive things about the GM and the coach, except I would say, come on, if this was Boston or the Yankees, would they hire rookies? It just means that you've seen these guys hung out to dry by the ownership group that won't, you know, we have a budget $50 million less than Milwaukee. Okay, we are the top five cities in North America. We used to outdraw everybody. We used to outspend everybody. And the people here, they either have to be a winner or give them hope that they are going to have the kind of financing to be able to build a winner. And what we're seeing is, you know, oh, my God, what a great thing. We got a $4 million player. So with all due respect to Rogers as a company, which makes a lot of money, and especially off the Toronto market, I'd have to say that the biggest issue is that the management here is dealt with an incredibly poor budget for the size of the market, and they have no support whatsoever to get any kind of spending. So, you know, I know who pays your salary, and I understand that, you know, big conversation about Prince Fielder But why would that guy come here when the ownership group won't even spend $60-70 million in a city that's only a little bit smaller than Chicago?
Look, I think, here, Mark, you know, and I was talking about the Blue Jays yesterday, Mark, and, you know, a lot of folks just have the perception that, well, they pay my salary, so I got to be careful with what I say and everything. Let me tell you something, Mark, and I truly mean this honestly, and I think every host here can say it, but I'm definitely saying it. I am here to give you my opinion, and if I truly believe that this company, that this organization is doing an injustice to the fans, is not doing things properly, is not going about things the right way, I'm going to say it. Maybe it cost me my job someday, fine, but I have never, ever, ever been told from anybody from upstairs or from anybody that's next to me, there's definitely nobody below me, but anybody that's next to me or above me that says, hey, watch what you say about the Toronto Blue Jays. Watch what you say about the ownership group.
I believe you.
You know, so I wanted to preface what I'm about to say with that, because the obvious place to go is, well, you have to say that. You know, that's the obvious thing. I want the company to spend money. I want the Blue Jays to go out and open up their pocketbooks. I just want them to do it the right way. And every time I've talked about Yu Darvish and how dangerous that could be, and when I've talked about Prince Fielder and locking the guy up for 10 years, whenever I talked about how that is dangerous, it always comes to, well, you have to say that. You're defending the company. That's not the way it is for me. That is actually my opinion in those two cases.
I believe you, but I'll make this point, is that the problem you have here and any what we've had as a management, whatever, whoever you want to blame, that's turned this into a small market team, and we're in Canada. So the top players don't want to come here. You got to overpay to get them. And the reason why they don't want to come here is that we're in fourth place in the East behind a friggin' team that's spending $30 million. So nobody believes that if you bring in Prince Fielder for $21 million a year, that they'll spend the other $20-30 million they'd need to compete with Boston and New York. So who wants to be? Only guys who want to play here are the losers. They're not the ones that want to win, and we're irrelevant.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily because the Toronto Blue Jays or the ownership group doesn't want to pay. If a player doesn't want to come here because they don't believe they're going to win, I don't think it's necessarily because of that. I think it's just because there are two beasts in the East, and they know that. And they know the AL East is just a tough place to play in, a tough division to be in. They know that. They're not stupid. I mean, you could say the same thing about the Baltimore Orioles, and that storied organization. And that ownership group that has been willing to spend money, but they've spent money improperly. They spent it on the wrong places, and they're still the worst team in the AL East. And while it's fair to say, and allow you to say it, because I'm not in the heads of every player that's rejected coming here, which is not to say that there are a lot of them, but it's fair if you want to say that, well, they don't believe that this team is willing to pony up the dough, that they're going to come here, collect a paycheck, but that's it. They're not going to win anything. Okay, if you want to think that that's the perception out there, go ahead. I'm not in the heads of every player that didn't want to come here. But I know for a fact, in talking to a lot of players, they look at the AL East and they go, wow, it's incredible. I mean, I've talked to John McDonald about heading out to Arizona and being with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I've said to him, both on air and off, I said, it must be nice to be out of the AL East. And they go, oh, it's just such a difference when you know you've got a chance. And he's speaking not necessarily to, well, the Arizona Diamondbacks will spend money, but to the fact that they're not in the AL East. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, or *590. And I get what you're saying, that if you're going to compete with the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees, that you've got to spend money to compete with them. I agree with you on that point, but I don't necessarily agree that you have to spend as much money as they do. I think you just have to spend it wisely. And frankly, I don't think this team has been good enough where they should go out and get a Prince Fielder and spend huge amounts of money for many years to acquire a player that's going to get them on the other side. They are more, and they have been for many years, more than a Prince Fielder away from winning this division. They're more than that. There are so many more holes to fill. You look at this team last year, there were so many question marks with the club years before that as well. But focusing on last year, you don't know that J.P. Arencibia is going to have a decent year. You don't know that he's going to be able to handle the pitching staff. You don't know what kind of bat he's going to have. Now, his average wasn't very good, but his power certainly was. You don't know what you're going to get out of there. You didn't know that Adam Lind was going to be able to play every day at first base, if he was going to be a massive liability there. You didn't know what was going to happen with Aaron Hill in second base, and second base is still a question mark. Jose Bautista, was he a one-year wonder? You took a leap of faith signing him again for another 5 years, but he's proved that that was a good signing as well. Just too many question marks. And I think there have been too many question marks for many years here in Toronto with the Blue Jays. And now we're approaching a point where they might perhaps be one or two players away. But I still think that in this offseason right now, looking at this club, they're still not one or two players away. They're going the right way. They're headed in the right direction. I just don't think we're a Prince Fielder away from winning the division. I'm sorry, I just don't. Clifton's in Etobicoke, joins us on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Clifton, a priority number one for the Toronto Blue Jays. What should it be right now?
Prince Fielder. I don't think they're a Prince Fielder away from winning the division, but I think Prince will take them closer.
I agree that it'll take them closer. But, Clifton, you know, I was talking to Jeff Blair earlier this hour, and we were talking about, you know, in both Jeff and I, we're in agreement here. The term is what scared me off of Prince Fielder. Is that the same scenario with you?
No, listen, man. You know, his father, right? Wasn't his father like a late bloomer in his career?
Cecil Fielder, and I've talked to him a couple of weeks ago about this. Cecil Fielder was a guy that really didn't get an opportunity here, wanted to be an everyday player, and had to prove it somewhere. And the only place he could do that was in Japan. He certainly did, and then his career took off after that.
So I'm saying that, okay, maybe, you know, pedigree is not, you know, is of great importance right here. But I was always, you know, in the Prince Fielder's camp here. Like, I was never excited about the Darvish. And I tell you what, I don't know if you remember, Prince was on prime time a few years ago with McCown. The day his mother was on her way to go find a job after, you know, the father ran into gambling problems. And I listened to that guy. And to me, even back then, man, the guy sounded so mature because he had to take on so much responsibility at a young age. And I'm saying, man, like this kid sounds like, you know, he's going to be a great player wherever he ends up. So ever since, man, like I was very high on this guy. So I'm thinking that the Blue Jays in this situation, yes, like you said, like 10 years is a long time. But the fact that his father was such a great hitter for a long time, I would roll the dice here. I would prefer to roll the dice on this guy than I would have on Darvish.
So Clifton feels that Prince Fielder, given his father's pedigree, is going to be a good player for a long time and worth the risk in signing him for 10 years. I disagree with that. I just think that you're tying this guy up for way, way too long. I don't think anybody, and Jeff Blair alluded to that earlier this hour as well, that anybody should be signed to that long a deal. I just don't think that's the right thing to do. If Prince Fielder were looking for a 5-6 year deal, I don't care about how much money it is, but 5-6 year deal, go for it. Go for it. Absolutely. You'd be nuts not to. It's the term that scares me off. And in looking at Prince Fielder's numbers, and that's the obvious, looking at his numbers, I mean, this is a guy, 38 home runs last year, 32 before that, 46, 34. He hit 50 in 2007. He gets over 100 RBIs every year except for in 2010. He's a stud. He's an absolute stud. And his batting average isn't terrible either. In 2010, he had a bad year, hit 261 as well. But every other year, he's hit, over 270. He's a stud. There's no doubt about it. And to echo the sentiments of Jeff Blair earlier on and our last caller, Clifton, as well, he is a guy that from all of indications that I've gotten, I've never had a chance to sit down and chat with him and get to know him up close and personal. But everybody I talk to that talks about Prince Fielder talks about him glowingly a great teammate. I've talked to Gord Ash about him. I've talked to Sean Markham about him. I've talked to Frank Catalanato about him. They have nothing but great things to say about Prince Fielder. It is not a question of character at all. It's just a question of the term, and that's what scares me here. Anthony's in Richmond Hill joins us on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Anthony, priority number one for the Toronto Blue Jays this offseason. Not Yu Darvish anymore, if it ever was. Who do you think it should be?
Staying the course. You hit it right on the head talking with Aaron Seavey going into last year. No one knew nothing about him. I care less about his batting average, the way he handled the pitching staff. Perfect. There's a lot of holes, but your first caller is saying get rid of the ownership. Well, Tampa, we're behind Tampa, he says, cause, and they spend less. There's no need to spend a boatload of money. Signing Fielder for 10 years is a joke. It's ridiculous. Stay the course and deal with what you have. You will fill those holes within. They're not at that point where they can get those two top free agents. And it doesn't mean that they're going to put you over the hump, because we did it before with Burnett, B.J. Ryan, and what happened with them? Nothing.
It
blew up.
Yeah, they did. Anthony, I appreciate it. That was a bit of a different club. They addressed the needs of going out and getting a closer, getting A.J. Burnett. They weren't terrible. They had some good times here, but ultimately it just wasn't working out. I think this club needs to add some pieces. I just don't think they're one massive signing away from getting over the top. This team still has needs, and I want to know what priority number one is for the Toronto Blue Jays. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590. Follow us on Twitter at Jeff Sammet 590. It's the Jeff Blair Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now, more of the Jeff Blair Show with guest host Jeff Sammet on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Determining what is priority number one for Alex Anthopoulos and the Toronto Blue Jays at this point. I'm Jeff Sammet. It's the Jeff Blair Show at 1042, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Follow us on Twitter at Jeff Sammet 590. Blue Jays bat boy with a tweet, hopefully the better player, Prince Fielder. Priority number one for the Toronto Blue Jays. C-Man Thomas wants the Jays to take a run at a starting pitcher in the form of King Felix, Felix Hernandez. Foam Finger James with a tweet in response to the Prince Fielder discussion we've been having for the majority of this hour. People want to pay Fielder based on today. 10 years would bring him to late 30s. He would be a tailing off DH making $20 million. Augs 93 with a tweet. They may not be one big bat away, but if you get them now, you don't need to look for one in the future. They need a 1A starter also. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590. Nathan is in Thornton, joins us on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Nathan, priority number one for the Toronto Blue Jays. What is it?
They need a money ball RBI hitter, and it's Prince Fielder. I agree with you, 10 years is too much. They get him for five, fine. If he doesn't want to come here, don't worry. I just don't understand how you get some of these fans calling in saying that nobody wants to come here because it's the American League East, and they provide all these excuses, right? But, you know, why don't you start showing up at the game? Okay, Anthopoulos is right. He's got to call out these fans because most of them are fair-weather fans. They just care about free agent signings, and they like watching television. You got a real fan goes to the game, buys tickets, sits in the seats. If we had more fans in the building, we'd get more wins. I'd like to see a stat that sees how the Jays win, their win-loss record, when they start packing the building. And that's what I think is what's going on here.
Well, look, you know, Nathan, it's the chicken and the egg thing. You know, would they win more if there were more fans there, or, you know, would more fans be there if they were winning firstly? And I subscribe to the latter theory mostly.
I mean, when we were packing in the Skydome, which isn't really a ballpark, with fans back then, it was like fashion to go to the game because they were winning. But there is a core of Jays fans, and these are the guys who are intelligent, not like your first caller, who understand baseball, who want to watch the game for the sake of watching the game, and if we win, that would be great. I don't know why they wouldn't go after somebody like a Moneyball player like Jim Thome. I know he's old, but the guy is money in the bank. He'll drive in a certain amount of runs. I think that, you know, if they had had 10 more wins last year because of their relief, lack of relief, they would have been in the playoffs. So, and the other thing that would have pushed them over was just a few more runs. They don't score enough runs right now, and that's it. And Jim Thome would have been great. He could have been, you know, a patchwork at least until he retired, and we could have got him for decent money, and he would have driven in runs. I don't know why they wouldn't have signed him. They had, like, many opportunities to sign a good player like him.
Nathan wants a middle-of-the-order bat on the cheap. 416-870-0590. 1-888-666-0590. Star 590, and it might be Carlos Beltran. That might be the guy, the middle-of-the-order bat. He's a free agent right now, and if you can believe the rumors, and, you know, there are always reports and rumors in this age of Twitter. You're going to hear a lot of things, but you know, some rumors have that the Toronto Blue Jays are interested in Carlos Beltran. The interest goes the other way. So perhaps would he be a solution, a priority for the Toronto Blue Jays? A middle-of-the-order bat, you know, where you could just kind of throw some money at the problem. Not very much money. I mean, when you're comparing to Prince Fielder, it's not very much money. It's a lot of money to us, but not comparison to Prince Fielder. But a guy like Carlos Beltran is out there. And, you know, while a lot of folks might be worried about his health and where he might fit in to the equation with the Toronto Blue Jays, he's a guy that has played almost no left field. He's played like a couple of games in his major league career. Has played a lot of center field, some right. Would he be willing to DH? We don't know. But if you were concerned about his health, he played about 140 games last year. .142 to be exact. And his numbers were not bad. 22 home runs, 84 RBIs. You'd stick him in the middle of the lineup. Now you got a team. To quote George Costanza from Seinfeld. 416-870-0590. 1-888-666-0590. Star 590. Now the Blue Jays might not want to go out and just throw some money at a guy. They insist that they would want to be creative and acquire somebody via trade first and foremost. So who would be priority number one for the Toronto Blue Jays? We asked that of Eric in Toronto, who joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Eric, priority number one for the Toronto Blue Jays.
It's still, hey, bud, sorry, but it's still got to be Prince Fielder. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, because even if for the next couple of years he comes play here, all the other players get to see excitement that there could be in this city like there used to be. Maybe we can attract better players to come here and play. I know everybody says the exact same thing, but that's what attracted those good players to come play here in the championship years, was they saw the enthusiasm that there could be in Toronto when we do win. And that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, it's not necessarily that there's excitement that, oh, they went out and got Prince Fielder. I'm excited. I want to join that club. I think it honestly takes winning first. And if Prince Fielder turns you into a winning team, well, then there you go. Then Prince Fielder is your answer. But just the mere signing of Prince Fielder, I think for the most part, that's not going to be enough.
I understand, but we got some good hitters on our team.
Mm-hmm.
We got some young good hitters,
yeah,
including with Batista in that middle. They're going to have to pitch to somebody, whether it's Prince Fielder or Batista. So we can be a dominant team with our bats. As you were talking about earlier about Aaron Tibia, yeah, he wasn't batting for average, but he was batting for power. He was hitting greatly for power. And that's another part of our lineup with Prince Fielder in there that we could be batting for power, a lot of power, with him and Batista.
Eric, if it meant signing Prince Fielder for 10 years and being married to that contract, would you do it?
I totally agree. No, I agree with not 10 years. But
and that's my problem with it, yeah.
Yeah, but your other caller wanted Jim Thome. Jim Thome's at the end of his career. What happened when we had that last project? Frank Thomas went out. He had a couple of good seasons. We signed Frank Thomas, and he comes. It seems like they come to Toronto, and they turn into belly ups.
Yeah, and that's why I went the way of Carlos Beltran. Jim Thome is he's no longer a guy that you can put in the middle of your lineup and not worry about that anymore. I mean, I think he'd be an even worse investment than Frank Thomas, because you remember the time Frank Thomas was a player, yes, on the tail end of his career, but that was disgruntled and looking to prove himself elsewhere. And we were all hoping he would do it here in Toronto. Didn't quite do that. And then eventually, ended up retiring shortly thereafter, returning to Oakland. Just really not working out and not finding himself again. It's certainly his best years were in Chicago. With Jim Thome, he's a guy that, sure, you can play him every once in a while, but he's a bat off the bench. That ultimately is what he's going to be. And that's it. He adds some bench depth. And that's not a guy that you necessarily need here in Toronto. If you're looking for a bat, someone that can DH some, that can play somewhere else as well, well, then great. But he's not your solution. He's just not your solution. The guy cannot take the grind day in and day out. Even if you threw him in for 100 games, I don't think you'd still reap the rewards of that kind of a signing. Carlos Beltran just makes more sense. The Blue Jays have no interest in signing a one-dimensional player. They're not going to do that. They want somebody that they can move around. They can have him in the outfield, spell Jose Bautista a little bit, have him play a little bit center field, and spell Colby Rasmus. Rajai Davis is a backup there, but Beltran's got to be up for that as well and have some time at DH. Boy, we got to fly through some calls. Todd's in Bowmanville joins us on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Todd, priority number one for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Hey, Jeff. Well, I think priority was an arm. I think it's 1 and 1A. I think they need an arm and they need a bat. I think they were going to go after Yu Darvish and not go after Prince because they could make a play for Joey Votto, But I think that's gone by the wayside. So they need to go after Prince Fielder now. They need to get that stud in the lineup to protect Jose Bautista and try to make a trade for a pitcher now. I want to see Yu Darvish succeed in Texas because I don't hate the Rangers. Not like I do the Yankees or Red Sox. So I want him to serve as a constant reminder how much they screwed up on. They should have made a play for Yu Darvish big time, and they didn't. So, I don't know. I go down to 10 games a year standard, and I don't know if I'm going to do that this year. So I just want to see him succeed. If if they're playing meaningful baseball in August, then yeah, of course I will be. But I'm not going to be chomping at the bit to go down Monday, Tuesday nights anymore like I used to. Anyways, thanks, Jeff.
It's too bad you feel that way. It really is because, at the heart of it, I'm just a baseball fan. And even though the Blue Jays are atrocious, and they're not going to be by no stretch of the imagination, but I just want to go see Major League Baseball, and that's my way of doing that. And the Blue Jays are not going to be a bad team. They're going to be a good team this year. Are they going to be a playoff team? Well, no, I don't think so. As it stands right now, no, they need some more help. Rick is in Oakville, joins us on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Rick.
Good morning.
Good morning. Priority number one for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Bullpen. I'm a first-time caller, and I'm very passionate about the Blue Jays. I've been since they came to inception. And bullpen wins championships. Look what St. Louis did this year. If we have the bullpen, the other pitchers will come, the other hitters will come. You need the bullpen first, and he didn't have it last year, and boy, did we prove that.
Rick in Oakville wants priority number one for the Toronto Blue Jays to be the bullpen. Kelly joins us on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Kelly, do you agree?
Number one priority on this team should be find protection for Bautista during his prime years. Case closed. We don't need him drawing 120 walks a year. We need him to see more hittable pitches. We need him driving the ball. And the only way that's going to happen is to find him protection. If he was 26, 27 years old, hey, we have a little bit of time to find that guy. He's 30, turning 31 next year, I think. Is Beltran going to find that protection for him? Mm. Beltran's more or less Adam Lind, offensively speaking. We need a Prince Fielder. I mean, this whole Yu Darvish thing was just ridiculous. We're rich in pitching to begin with. Yu Darvish is Henderson Alvarez 2.0. He's Drew Hutchinson in a year from now. The Jays need now desperately to find protection for Batista, get him more hittable pitches. Him drawing walks is not going to get it done. That's the number one priority on this team.
Kelly, it feels that Jose Bautista needs protection, and that's number one. Frank in Toronto joins us on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Frank's going to tell us what priority number one is for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Priority number one is Prince Fielder for a number of reasons. One, he's a stud. He's a stud right now. He's not some old guy in the twilight of his career. He's going to drive in the runs. Two, he's going to create a big buzz around the city. What's that buzz worth? Is it worth an extra 1,000 tickets a game? If it is, average of 40 bucks a ticket, that's 400,000 a game. All right, that's going to pay for his salary alone.
No, I disagree with that, but I hear your sentiments on Prince Fielder. That's not going to be enough. I mean, even if they sign Prince Fielder, it's not going to make a huge difference in attendance. The only thing that's going to change anything in attendance, as far as the Jays is concerned, is winning. I will always be convinced of that, unless we find an example that says otherwise, and we haven't seen that yet. Many feel it's Prince Fielder, priority number one. If they get him, that would be great, but it's got to be far less than 10 years. Hey, guess what? You know who the Toronto Maple Leafs recalled? You know who's now a Toronto Maple Leaf? Nazem Kadri has been recalled by the Toronto Maple Leafs. Let's talk about it. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, or star 590. Wise move or not? I'm Jeff Sammet. It's the Jeff Blair Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca.